Amen. So today I want to talk about riding the Jesus train. Riding the Jesus train. Amen. When are we supposed to be done? Tell me. So I don't keep you here all day. When are we supposed to be done? Who knows? Yeah? Tomorrow? No? 5 p.m.? Anytime I like? The latest time, 1 p.m.? latest. 1:15 at the latest. Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Pastor says I should... Amen. So yeah, the Lord has put a word in my heart for us today as we celebrate 6 years, and pardon me, I'm just going to speak with you as if we are in a coffee shop and we are talking, sharing. That's how God has gifted me to speak. So sometimes I do find myself becoming very animated. And that's all right. The Holy Spirit can do that. But usually I will just converse with you like this. So I've already started. What I want to share with us today is something that the Lord put on my heart as I was coming to London. First time I came to London 5 years ago, that was the time I came here. When I saw... 5.5 years ago. Yes, when I saw the map of the train network. Wow. I got confused. I said, what is this? Look at that. How can one understand this mess? Because then I was living in Canada, and ours is just 3 lines. In Montreal, we have just 3 lines, just 3. The green, the blue, and the orange. That's it. Then when I saw this one, I said, whoa! How am I ever going to get around? How do people manage to navigate this stuff? And but over the time, as I've come over and over again, this now is not something to be scared of. This is now something that gives me comfort. Because I know that I can't get lost in London. Because now I have a concept of how it works. I have a concept of how I can get from one place to the other. And what I discovered is that if you have to go to any place in London, and you know the train station that you need to get to, you are safe. You are okay. Is that not right? That's what I discovered. And you know, now because of that, I feel safe. When I show up in Heathrow, I know that, you know what, I'm here. I can go anywhere I like. In fact, when I'm coming back, I'm going to Canada from here. When I'm coming back, I have a layover for about 20 hours, and I'm already thinking, you know, once I get down, I just get into London, do a few things, and get back. Because I know that there's a network that goes to everywhere. All you need to know is where you're going and where you are. Now, if you want to be on a train, there are a few things that are written down here that you need to know that will give you comfort, and which is, you need to know the direction of the train that you're going to get on. You need to know, because northbound. Yeah, you got it. There's one going northbound. You need to know which one is going there. Yeah, you need to know that. Then you need to know your own direction, where you want to go. You need to know the station that you are at. You need to know your station. You need to know the station you're going to. You need to understand that there are a couple of stations along the way. Then you need to look at what I do. I look at the stations in between where I am and where I'm going. And then I take particular note of the very next one. So that if I get on the wrong one, once you get to the next station, I will know that, whoa, I missed it. Then I'll get down. And I also try to take note of the other direction, the station there too, just to get me safe. I want to really know where I'm going. And then the last thing I do is I take note of the stations, about 2 stations before my final destination, so that when I'm near there, I can start getting myself together. And with that, I feel so confident in London. And I think from that we can draw a message this morning. The Lord spoke to my heart, and I said I should share with you from that. That in order to be a good believer, you need to know where Jesus is taking us to. You know, I see Jesus as a train that just moves. That's why I say getting on the Jesus train. The Lord opened my eyes to see Jesus as a train that is going to a destination, but that is a train that just keeps going for 50 years, for 40 years, for 20 years, long time, but he's going to a destination. And I discovered that if you don't know the destination that Jesus is taking you to, you may not be comfortable on the train. Do you know that? I find that whenever I'm on a train in London and I've not yet ascertained, we've not reached the first station, I don't sit very well. As until we get to that first station that I already memorized in my mind, I don't sit well. I sit as if I'm going to get up. So once we get to that first station, I know, yes, number one, I'm on the right direction. Number two, I'm going, I'm all right now. Then I relax. Why? Because I know everything that I thought was going to happen is happening. And I think that's the same thing with the Lord Jesus. If we don't know the destination that Jesus is taking us to, we are not comfortable. We don't sit down comfortably in Christ. And I've seen a lot of Christians do that. I engage them in discussion and I see that they're not sitting well in Christ. They're not comfortable in Christ. Why? Because they and Jesus have not agreed on the destination. Maybe we should try to agree on the destination that Jesus is taking the church to. Where is Jesus taking us all to? All this that we are doing today, what's it for? Where are we going to? Remember the early days of our ministry, one day I opened my mouth and announced very well in church that if you want to be rich, church is not the best place to go to. I can show you some great guys who don't know God who will teach you to be extremely rich. The destination of this church is not making people rich. You may need riches to survive on the journey, but riches is not our goal. There has to be a destination. We must know where he's taking us to. Hallelujah. It's not a hospital also. It's not where we just come and heal people. There's a destination. There are some fantastic hospitals that you can go to if it's just healing. But healing is necessary for us to do this work. But that's not the destination. And I want us to think about it. Where's Jesus leading us to? Because the Lord said to me, unless people know where I'm taking them to, they can't rest. And so he said, I should tell you, we should look at it together. That's why we read those scriptures. One of them that we read was Ephesians chapter 4. Let's try and look at that. Let's start from there. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll try to keep it short enough so that we will remember. But also we can take... We're recording this, aren't we? Are we recording the audio? Very good. Because I noticed that whenever we're doing anniversary, our minds are never there. We're waiting for the celebration. But I'm glad that there's a recording so that you can go back and enjoy it. And so it says in verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. From this, I can extract a destination. And the destination is that God, Jesus is working very hard to make us all to be like him. Can we conclude on that? Yes, we can conclude. I think that's the destination. When you get on this train, this Jesus train, the essence of it, what Jesus wants to take out of it, is that what? We all become like him. Okay? We not just one of us becomes like him. That's not the end of the goal, of the journey. The journey is that you become like him and I become like him. And as we go along, some of us are working on each other. We're working on each other to still become like Jesus. The whole goal of it is that Jesus is using every resource he has, my resource, your resources, all of it together to work such that we will become like him. But that is not enough, because what is he? Who is he? What does he do? It's very important. So now we know, we agree that once a person comes to Christ, is the work that Christ begins to do in them is not just to help them live a better life, have a better home, have a good marriage, have good children, and have a good job. That's all working together for a goal. There's something that's been achieved. And that being achieved is what transforming that person to become like Jesus. And then who is Jesus? The Jesus is life. Is the life. Hallelujah. That takes us to another scripture that we read. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Let's look at that together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Give us another view of the goal, the final destination of this train. You get on the train, you check what direction it's going, you check the first station and you discover that it's going, then you relax because it's taking you to your destination. And what's that destination that Jesus has in mind? We'll look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses on them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, and as we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Christ is the answer to all the problems on the earth. He is the answer. He is the light in the place where there is darkness. And so what is he trying to do? He's trying to make us lights. Is trying to make us solutions. Is trying to make us blessings. Is trying to make us ambassadors who will bring every other person back to God. Wonderful. Hallelujah. So now we know that once you get on this train, there's only one destination. The train is going all the way to make you to become a solution, to become a light, to become an ambassador, a minister of reconciliation who brings others to God, to so that we can have that perfect harmony that Christ, that God wants for his people. God always wants to relate with his people and have fellowship with them and enjoy them. And that's what we call heaven. Is that not? That's what we call heaven. A place where we are freely access to God, and God can speak to us, and God becomes our light, our presence. You know, his presence becomes our joy and our glory. We just enjoy him. And so when we get on this journey, we must know where we're going. Now, I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer this. Just think about it in your heart. Is that destination what you want? Are you on the right train? It's very important to ask that. The fact that you're on the train doesn't mean you're going in the direction that the train is going to. I've been on trains before. They were going southwards. I wanted to go north. Hallelujah. Yeah, I've been there. Sometimes I even went several stations before I realized. Now, that's why I'm wiser now. So I'm asking you this question. Now that you know where the train is going, you know where the train is going. Is that what you want? Is that where you want to go? And another question I would like to ask you this morning is, are you on the Jesus train? Because there are some trains, they go different places and then they crisscross. They go in different, they meet, they cross. So you may be here, you know, the trains have stopped, they're getting people in. We may be together at this stop, but we may not be going in the same direction. We may not even be in the same train. Because life is tough, life is challenging, and things hit you here and there, and then before you know it, you may have found yourself in the wrong train and you may be going the wrong direction. This morning, I just want to encourage you that if you got on the Jesus train, you can relax. Because Jesus will take you to the destination. He doesn't fail. But there's challenge. The enemy will want to get us off the train all the time. And that will lead us to the next scripture, Hebrews chapter 12. I will try not to read too many scriptures because today's anniversary is not a teaching service. I just finished 40 days of program where we taught every day for 40 days. Finished it yesterday. Got on the plane this morning, Saturday. I finished on Friday. Got on the plane on Saturday morning instead of coming here. Going to Canada to do a retreat for pastors. Going to do lots of teaching. I enjoy doing that because I don't do it alone. I open scriptures and I interact. But today, because we don't have a lot of time, I'm not doing much of interaction. I'm just dropping some stuff. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Hallelujah. Let me stop there for a while. This passage, the apostle there is saying, we have so many witnesses. We have others that have gone ahead of us. We have so many Christians, believers, followers who of Christ who have brought this message to us. I've read several stories of different people. I was just reading today, yesterday, I was just remembering this story that God, analogy that God was giving to me. I remembered a book that I read when I was quite young, The Pilgrim's Progress. So I went back to read it. If you have not read it, please take a note and buy it and read it. Or listen to it on YouTube. It's on YouTube. Listen to it, the whole thing, an hour and some minutes. And I was looking at it again, and that guy, you know what? He was put in jail, in prison. For what? For what? For preaching the gospel outside. Because he didn't preach within the church. So the church got him and put him in prison, and he was there for a couple of years. And it was while he was in prison that he wrote that story of Christian going towards the Zion. Okay? And I want you to know that there are so many people that have given everything to Jesus. You know the Apostle Peter. You know the Apostle Paul. You know Stephen. You know Jesus himself. You know all of these people went through some very difficult times. Do you realize that? And there are some people that came and brought the gospel to Africa. And mosquitoes killed them. Some people were killed not by mosquitoes but by people. And there's so many people that have taken the gospel to hostile lands. And they've been killed. Carrying this gospel on this Jesus train. Because there is something that Jesus came and died for that we must be involved in. As soon as you get on that train, he draws you into his program. And what is his program? To reconcile everyone to him. And some of these people are so messed up in their mind that when you bring the gospel to them, what they want to do is to kill you. But then it continues to say that I want to work in you to get these ones in. You're not supposed to take up arms and kill them, but rather you're supposed to do whatever it takes to get them to come, because I will work in you to reconcile them back. And so that's why I'm asking you this question. What train are you on? Are you on the Jesus train? And if you're on the Jesus train, then you must be on your way to this same life of sacrifice. You must be on your way to this same life that's ready to give it all up for another person to know Jesus. Because once a person knows Jesus, you've given them the best gift that you can ever give them on earth. When a person chooses to relinquish the control of their life and receives Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, they have made the best decision they will ever make on this planet. And so when we get on this Jesus train, there's only one destination, and that is becoming like Christ, who laid down his life so that others can have life. Let us lay aside, verse 1, every weight, every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what joy? The joy of seeing many of us become Jesus. The joy of seeing more Jesus. That's the joy. That's the joy we have as pastors. That's the joy. That's the joy we have when in 2014 we felt the Lord say, leave Canada, take your children that were born there, go back to Nigeria and go and plant a church. Why did we do that? Because we felt that there are so many people in Nigeria who need the same gospel, and whether they're Nigerians or Canadians or Europeans, they are souls. Let's go get them. So we sold everything we've got. Put the rest in the container. Ship the whole thing to Nigeria. And when we got to Nigeria, we wish we didn't. So that place is rough. But God showed up. We planted the church. We started the meetings. First little children, he didn't let us start in the center of city, in Abuja or somewhere in Lagos. He told us to go into the remote area. And we were there. And we began to see people come to meet with Jesus. And the little ones got saved. And the younger ones transformed. And I want you to know that that's the Jesus train. That, if you are on the Jesus train, you're going to have a story that's going to sound like this. This is what was comfortable. This is what Jesus asked me to do. If you don't have that story, check your stations. You may be on the southbound. We're supposed to be going on. Check. Check. If he doesn't begin to ask you to sacrifice for others, if he doesn't begin to demand from you what you think you can't give, if he doesn't constrain you when you thought you've given everything you've got and wants to take more, you may be on the wrong train. The call to follow Jesus is not a call to just enjoy all the time. It's a call to have what we call spiritual joy, which makes it easier for you to handle physical challenges. Amen? There's a depth of joy that you get when you are with Christ that you are willing to sell everything you've got to keep it. And once you have that real joy, what happens to you is that no matter what it costs, you are willing to pay, because you just can't stand losing that joy. You just can't stand being disconnected from him. Someone said to me, Pastor, you are such a brave pastor. You left Canada. You came to this bush, this place to stay. What a great... I said, look, listen. I didn't come because I was obedient. Let me tell you the truth. I came because if I didn't come, I won't have his fellowship. I love you guys, but that's not the real reason I came. Let me be honest. I love you. The real reason I came was because I can't do without him. I don't care to stay anywhere as long as I don't have him. That place is hell to me, no matter how good it looks. So if you're on the right train, if you're on the right train, you'll be feeling some of these things I'm talking to you. You'll be hearing. I'm saying this thing so that you know if you're going on the right train. You begin to see these stations. Oh, yeah, I know that station. I passed that. I've seen that before. But God demands from you. Sometimes you're going through difficulties and you're happy. And you're wondering, is something wrong with me? Remember the days when there was no money. I was working. I had my own business. I was working. I had employed people. God says, close it. Close what? How are we going to eat? 2007, remember, told me, close the business. You are mission field. You can't do this work in this city of Montreal. This church won't grow. You got to close this business and then work on this business, this work, my business, with all your time and your energy. So I closed the business and began to work for God morning till evening, because that city was such a rough city. They don't believe in God at all. Very, very liberal, extremely liberal. Montreal, Canada, check it up. And so we began to do that. And I remember very clearly when I went to McDonald's to buy burger, just one, not even a trio. No drink, no fries, nothing. And I brought out my car to pay $5. Somebody had taken their money. There was no money in the account. And people were lining up behind me. You know McDonald's, you know. And you know, sir, your card is declined. You have another card? No, I don't. With shame, I walked away. And I said, God, what is this you are doing to me? I have a master's degree in engineering. Why are you doing this to me? And he says to me, I'm with you. We are being shamed together. I didn't leave you alone. I'm right here. Then I say, thank you, Father. I'm okay if you are with me. I'm okay. I want you to know that if you're on the right train, some of these things will begin to happen to you. But while that was happening, I found that there was joy. I didn't wish to go back. There was joy. And that's the joy that I want to talk to you about, to try to preserve. That's what this journey is all about. It's that joy that comes from knowing the King, from being close to the Father, from being on the right train. It's that joy. And once you have that joy, you keep it. You don't let it go, because the enemy will try to rob you of it. That's why I was telling them, lay aside those things, because they will rob you of the joy. Lay them aside. When the sin comes, lay it aside. When fear comes, lay it aside. When business opportunities come, you may have to lay some aside. Some of them are not good for you. Put them aside so that you keep that joy. But then as I continue to meditate on the scriptures, the Lord was saying to me that I should share with the people. Say, share with Healing Springs Church. That I'm not saying that they should leave their work to serve me. But I'm saying that they should make their work my mission. And I'm going to explain that to you. A few years ago, the Lord said to me, look, I want you to begin to speak to people about workplace missions. Workplace missions. And that's what I'm going to share with you right now. Look, if you're on the train going with Jesus, your greatest desire, your only desire, your only goal is what? To bring people to Christ. That's it. When I ask you, what's your prayer point will be that men and women may know Jesus just like I know him. that men and women love the Lord just like I love him. That's your goal. But he says that everybody that he has created, he has given different giftings and different jobs and different vocations. And we are to use our vocations for that one goal. What's that goal? To bring people to him. So when you're a doctor, you know that you're a doctor. What's your work? To bring people to him. But in your medicine, as you practice that, you're practicing it because that's your tool that God has given to you to bring people to him. Do you know that there are so many people that doctors can bring to Christ that pastor cannot? Do you know that? There are many. I know when I sit down with my doctor. Remember last year I had a stroke. I sat down with my doctor. She was asking me questions. I was answering. I wanted her to ask me more questions. I said, please ask any question that will help me to understand what's going on. Are you getting me? People are open to doctors. Now, if that doctor is carrying the life of Christ, the power of God, has only one goal in life, to bring many to Christ. You know, when the doctor is asking those questions and it's emanating the life of Christ, you know, they build a relationship and they can do what a pastor cannot do. You know, it will take you several years to get to even one-tenth of the answers that you get from a patient per doctor. Do you know a nurse also can be a blessing? Do you know how caring a nurse can be? When someone is in the hospital, if you've ever been in the hospital, when I had a stroke last year, it was the first time I ever was admitted in a hospital, and I was lying down in the hospital, and there are some nurses that will come that are so nice. There are some nurses that they will come. You pray they don't come again. You know, if a nurse that loves God comes and is carrying the power of Christ, you know, in some places they don't let you pray, but in some places they do. But even if they don't let you, but she's praying for you, she's reaching out to you in the spirit, it will reach your spirit. And before you know it, you have a relationship. And you know, there are some people, after I got out of the hospital, I came back, brought money to give to them because they were so nice. I'm telling you, there are some people that nurses can reach, the pastor can't reach it. I can't reach them. Do you know there are some people that business people can talk to that we can't talk to? And so the Lord's saying to me that we must raise a generation of people who know that there's only one thing that they need to be doing. What is that? Bringing people to Christ. They are full fledged ambassadors for Jesus and using their tool. That's why when you don't have access to God, you don't have time to pray anymore, you don't have time to read your Bible because you are on the work, you stop. Why? Because how would you do the work when you are not equipped to do it? How would you bring people to Christ when you've not had time to talk to the Christ? But when you don't know where the train is going, when you think where the train is going is who's going to buy the biggest car. When you think where the train is going is how I'm going to send my child to the most expensive school. When you think where the train is going is help me to get a husband, get a child. Or, you know, somehow you begin to change the rules. You find yourself that the enemy begins to help you to drop off from the train. When making sacrifice for the body of Christ becomes so difficult to you, not a joy anymore, there's a problem. And so the Lord said to me to share with you that he sees your heart and he loves your heart, and that this church is just one coach on the Jesus train. Amen. It's just one coach on the Jesus train. And once you have found yourself in this coach, give everything to it. Because it's taking you to where Jesus is taking you. Give yourself to the work. Make the sacrifices that he asks. Receive all the training that you need. You know, Ephesians chapter 4 is telling us, what's the work of an evangelist? You may think, oh, the work of an evangelist is to preach. No, it says the work of an evangelist is to equip the others to do the work. The work of a pastor is not to stay here and preach to you. It's to encourage those who go out there to work. If all of us become pastors, who are we going to be equipping? We need to equip those who are working so that when they go to work, they go and do missions and the people that they are witnessing to pay them. That's fantastic. You get paid to do mission. You get paid as a teacher to bring the life of God to those children. You get paid as a nurse, as a train driver, to be a blessing to those people that you're going to meet on your way. You get paid to do that in the name of Jesus. And the Lord said to me, once your vision becomes aligned with the Jesus vision, you begin to experience miracles. You begin to experience miracles. And that's the story. That's the story of my life. We began, there was a shift at the point, the moment when I made up my mind, that, you know what, it's over. I'm not even going to try anymore to do anything for myself. Just Jesus, make a fool of me as much as you want. I don't care anymore. I'm tired of all this struggling. Shift. Hallelujah. The supernatural. You know, you just speak and Jesus says, yes, he works with it. He works on it. Takes it. You greet somebody and the person says, I want to talk to you some more. It just opens the doors. Evangelism becomes so natural. Your life becomes a blessing. Your children the first people that begin to receive of the life of Christ that is in you. Because you see, the life of Christ can flow through you without even talking. Just being in the presence of people, the life of Christ begins to work. And so when you're in the presence of people and you're interacting with them in any way, the power of God begins to work. Because now you are aligned. You are aligned. Your vision is aligned with the work. And this church that we are celebrating God's work today is a proof of that. Amen. So I'm going to wrap it up. Sorry, I've taken all the time that he gave me, but not too much. A few words. The Lord said to me, particularly, that there are a few people here. So some have decided that building the kingdom is their primary aim in life. They've made up their mind. This is it. I'm going to serve Jesus all my life. And they're singing that song, Your Presence is Heaven to Me. You are the treasure of my heart. You're everything. I want to see your face. They just want Jesus. He says, I should encourage you. That you should keep going. That he sees you. He sees your sacrifice. He sees your love. And he says, he's with you. Amen. The Lord will encourage you. He knows your heart. He knows where you are. Just keep going. Then he says, there are some. For some years now, the Lord has brought increase into your life. You've experienced some blows on me. But he says that this, that since the blows on me came, since the increase came, it has caused a shift in your heart. Your song is no longer Your Presence is Heaven to Me. Your song is no longer I long to see your face. Your song is now I thank you for the blessings you have given. And it says, I should say to you, my dear, what I've given you is just the beginning of what I want to give you. Bring your heart back today. So I should say that to some. Says there's some others. You have the same symptoms. Your heart is beginning to go away from the King. But it's not because of the blessings that you receive. It's because of the challenges that you have gone through. Some pain has come. Some challenges after challenges after challenge after challenge. And you don't know what's going on anymore. And you've been so busy trying to put off the fires. And it says, my dear, focus on me. The fires will go away. Focus on me. The fire will go away. And he says there's some. You've never really made up your mind that you are going to be an ambassador for Jesus. No. You know you have never. It has never happened. He says you are here. I'm not talking to someone that didn't come to church today. Every single group I'm picking up, they are here. Since you've never really made up your mind. You've been going to church because it's one of those things that you thought is necessary to be a good person on earth. You have never signed up to be an ambassador for Jesus. Since he wants you to do that today because that's the only way, that's the only place this Jesus train is going. That's the only place Jesus' train is going. And the last group of people, you don't even have a relationship with Jesus. If this were to end now, you don't know for sure that you are going with Jesus. You don't know. You don't know. No, no, that shouldn't be. That can't be. Why would you take that kind of risk when Jesus had died on the cross for you? Since today is the day. Do it. Surrender to Him. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer, would you? Whatever state you are, wherever you find yourself on this journey, why don't you correct it? If you've never given your life to Christ and today is the day you want to do it, You've heard about it. You've never. I will ask you, please. Just pray after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know it. And I know that you will not be wrong if you judge me and say you don't want to be with me. You separate yourself from me because I have gone against you. But I've heard the story that Jesus has paid. I want to take hold of that now. And I receive new life, newness of life, forgiveness of sin. Dear Jesus, take me. Help me. I confess you as my Lord. If you've done that from your heart, and of course you mean that, then you should be experiencing some freedom right now, some spiritual work going on in your heart right now. And I want to speak to those who are saying, I want to go all the way. I know every level there's somebody there, and I want to pray also for myself. I encourage us today. Let's just put our hands on our chest and cry out to God and say, Lord, I really, really want to live this life just for you. Just for you. Just for you. I want to be able to really wake up and say, all I want is Jesus. All I want is for people to be saved. That's my goal. That's my goal in life. That's all I want. And the Bible says all other things will be added. So there's no need to worry about those things. If that's you, I want you to put your hands on your chest. We'll pray together. I'll pray with you. And after this, you can reach out to Pastor and share with him what has gone happening, what Jesus is doing in your heart. And he will guide you, put you on be an accountability partner to you. Heavenly Father, we ask for your mercy. We ask that, Lord, you help us. Every one of us, as we yield to you now and say we want to serve you and you alone, I pray that, Lord, you will move mightily on our hearts. You will give strength to that which we are yearning for in our spirit. And all the flesh, all the things that are trying to hold us back will not hold us back any longer. I pray that everyone that is praying with me now will have that experience in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, thank you for everyone that's here. I begin to declare over their lives, Lord. Let there be a flow. Let there be a flow of your power, a flow of your presence, a flow of your joy, a flow of your peace. Lord, you've spoken to us that you love us, you care about us. Lord, I declare that everyone that knows us will begin to see more and more of your glory upon our lives. Let the miracles begin to flow. Let the supernatural begin to manifest. Let healings, deliverances, light manifest from the life of every one of us. Let there be no lack as we pursue this kingdom. I declare over Basingstoke that Healing Springs Church is a blessing to this land. And this church will grow and become a pillar in this city, a lighthouse to this land, in the name of Jesus. For everyone that's part of this, have joined their hands to this coach, this church, we declare over their lives that they will grow and be a blessing to this land. Pillars in this land, in this city, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We celebrate you. We honor you. We pray for the pastor and his wife and the families. We pray in the name of Jesus that they will always have testimonies upon their lips of what you have done with them as they sacrifice their life for this work. In the name of Jesus. Pray that you will not lack anything. Everybody that sees you will know that it pays to serve Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Okay, I'd just like to invite the choir forward to lead us as we sing some songs to round up the service before we change gear. Okay, so members of the choir, if you're in the kitchen, please come over. We're going to sing Treasure of My Heart and My Soul, and then we're going to sing All I See Is You. Amen. The first one says, Treasure of my heart and of my soul, in my weakness, you are merciful. Redeemer of my past and my present wrongs, the odor of my future days to come. You know, recently the Holy Spirit brought this verse to my mind. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And when I was growing up, I thought about this as, you know, if you are pure in heart, you will get to heaven. And that's true. Well, it's deeper than that. A deeper revelation is that when your heart is pure towards God, when your heart is single, when your heart is single, when your singular purpose in life is to please Him, your spiritual eyes will open and your life will begin to go in the right direction. You will make the most of your life because you have decided not to double deal and you have decided not to dilly-dally. Hallelujah. When it becomes the treasure of your heart and of your soul, you begin to make the most of your life. Hallelujah. Nothing ever happens on earth without man taking responsibility for what God has told him to do. Amen? God will never force you to do anything. He will tell you. He will guide you. But you have to take responsibility. Amen? You have to choose. You have to respond. And then you will see God working. Hallelujah. Treasure of my heart and my soul. Let's rise up as we sing. Treasure of my heart and soul.
Treasure of my heart and of my soul.
In my weakness, you are merciful.
In my weakness, you are merciful.
Redeemer of my past and present wrong. Older of my future.
Older of my future days to come.
Just repeat that. Treasure of my heart and soul.
Treasure of my heart and of my soul.
In my weakness, Lord, you are merciful.
In my weakness, you are merciful.
My
Your presence is heaven.
Your presence is heaven.